Big ol' Marcus.
Oh, dude.
Big ol' Marcus.
Right here. Welcome back to the Native Ways Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Ellis.
I'm your co-host, Christian Miller.
And today we're bringing y'all another episode. We're getting away from the artifact content and we're kind of diving into hunting season a little bit. But what we're going to talk about today is you can do this all year. So I'm going to let Christian kind of shout some stuff out and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, so just want to give a shout out to everybody that follows on our social medias. Pretty much you can find us on everything at Native Ways Podcast other than Snapchat. We appreciate the support from everybody. Appreciate y'all tuning in, listening, and like I said, giving us some support. And we have a good guest with us today. Richard, you want to shout out the
people? Yeah. before we jump into the guest, shout out Texas Cash, shout out Dancing Dogs, people that have been there for us from the start. So we really appreciate that. Texas Cash just dropped their quarterly issue for the year. So y'all go check it out. It's pretty cool. It's got some stuff regarding, I think it's a Clovis made out of mammoth ivory. So that may not be true. I may be lying. go check it out. See for yourself. But another deal, the community cash is growing every month. We appreciate all y'all that have tuned in, supported throughout the year. We're continuing to grow. Got a new drop coming up probably in November, so y'all be ready. But, yeah, Christian?
Yeah, so we're going to introduce you to Moss's Dark Arrow, known on TikTok, known on some other social media platforms. I'll kind of let you introduce yourself and tell us what you do.
How y'all doing? How y'all doing, man? My name's Moss, man, a.k.a. the Dark Arrow. Most of y'all may know me as, but what I do is I'm a bow fisher. A lot of people don't know about bow fishing, so I'm just pretty much here to educate and tell y'all a little bit about it. I appreciate Native Ways for having me out here and giving me the chance to speak to you guys, and I'm ready to jump into it.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so I guess we can jump into kind of what bow fishing is. A lot of people might not know what it is, might not know anything about it, might not be educated. So if you want to kind of explain that first, we'll get into that.
So bow fishing is fishing, but of course, like as you see in the name, is fishing with the bow. So normally you're fishing with a pole. That's the, you know what I'm saying, the classic everyday what you see. But I fish with a bow, and it's a lot harder, but once you get it down, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
right. It is a lot of fun. But what it is just combining archery and bow fishing. Well, archery and fishing in one. And you got to be pretty precise to hit a shot just because of the fact that you're aiming at a reflection. And a lot of people don't know that. And once you pretty much master the angles and where to shoot, where to aim, you pretty much get it down and do what you have to do to get a successful bow fishing hunt.
Heck yeah. Yeah, when you're aiming, so I've bow fished just a couple times. We kind of tinkered around with it in college, but I was terrible. You know, I can shoot a compound bow as far as out of water pretty good.
Yeah.
But when it came to shooting through the water, nah. So just what are you looking for? What are you trying to do when you're aiming and shooting through the water?
So number one is just recognizing and knowing what fish that you can shoot and what fish that you can't shoot. So I always tell people laws and regulations may vary in the state that you are in. So in Texas, we can shoot pretty much anything but game fish. So
right. What
you're aiming at is you're aiming, and I'm looking for shadows. I'm looking for shadows, and I'm looking for pretty much to see the fish. You can pretty much see the fish depending on the angle of the sunlight, or if you're on a boat and you got lights around it, you're going to pretty much see the fish. But what you do is you're shooting at a reflection, so you always aim low. Number one tip. Just because of the fact that it's pretty much like putting a straw in a water, clear glass of water. So if you ever put a straw in a clear glass of water and you looked at it, you would see like straw is a little staggered in the water than it is on top of the cup. So with that being said, same thing with the water that you're bow fishing. You know what I'm saying? Just aim low. When you see something, it's there, but it's just not where you think it is. So
right.
Just aim low.
I personally bow fished quite a bit, and I kind of got the angles down, but the problem that I would have most of the time is the different depths of water.
Yes.
So when you know they're on top of the water, you're pretty much You can shoot
right on top of them.
But depending on how deep it is, depends on how low you aim. Most definitely. And even if there's current, too, if you're fishing in a creek or a river, that affects your arrow.
Yes, bow fishing's conditions, you pretty much have to have perfect conditions for it to be perfect out there. So I wish I can get out there and bow fish every day, but sometimes like you just can't see in the water. The rapids are going too fast. Like, there's fish there, but you just can't see them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of things that I get is, you're not using any polarized glasses, so how can you see? And like I said, I'm looking for reflections. So I've been bow fishing for 6 years, so I got a little cheat code on where to look at.
Right.
Hey, but, and if y'all haven't seen his stuff, y'all need to go check it out right now on TikTok. You want to shout it real quick?
Oh, yeah, TikTok at the Dark Arrow, man.
Dude hits some shots. Like, I was scrolling through last night, and I was thoroughly impressed with some of the shots he makes. I
appreciate that, truly.
But that being said, what's some of the gear you use? I mean, clearly, like you said, it's archery fishing, but bows are different, I know.
Definitely.
You got reels, all that stuff. So you want to tell us a little bit about the gear?
So, yeah, getting into the gear, I have to go through the process of actually trying everything and then seeing what works best for me. And what worked best for me was Oneida. So shout out to Oneida. I feel like they're the number one bows in the game. If you watch the Slock Master, Tim Wells, shout out to Tim Wells, man, number one. But if you watch him, I believe they use the same bows, the Phoenixes and the G-Rexes and the Oneidas. Those are great bows. You can tune them down. You can use them for bow fishing and hunting. So it's like 2-in-1. Mm-hmm. So, but I had went through the learning curve of, I started off with a recurve bow. And I feel like that's probably one of the hardest bows to pretty much shoot.
Right.
And yeah, it was hard shooting with the recurve bow. And somebody had actually stole that bow from me. So it was a blessing and a curse, because I loved that bow, but it made me, I couldn't get the same bow, so it made me get a more expensive bow. And once I got a more expensive bow, I went to the Muzzy Vice. Shout out to Muzzy too. That's another big bow fishing brand. Pretty much top two right there, Oneida and Muzzy. AMS, those are pretty much the top three that I would have to say. But then I got into the Muzzy Vice. That's a compound bow as well. It's not like the Oneidas at all, but it does get the job done. Certain rest that I use, like arrow rest, I use to quick draw too. Like, that's, hey, this game is to be told and not sold. So that's what I tell people. So I use the quick draw too. That's a cheat code for you. Metal rest, because of the fact that if you got a plastic rest, most of the time the rest is the first thing that takes all the damage and gets beat up. So shooting it, if you have a plastic rest, it's only wear and tear, it's only a matter of time before it breaks. So I want all metal rest. Quick draw too. I use the Muzzy tournament reel. I got certain modifications that I do have on my bow. My drawback length, my poundage, all that takes a big part of what you do. So if you got your poundage too strong, you're pretty much going to shoot all the way through the fish. So if you have it too light, you're just going to give them a little tattoo and poke them. So you got to have your poundage at the right poundage. I pretty much go over that. I make sure I memorize it. I don't have the exact measurements of my bows, because I shoot 4 different bows, depending on the situation that I'm in right now. So, yeah, that's another thing. I'm shooting 4 different bows. So, when I switch over, every single bow shoots differently. So, that's another thing that I had to pretty much take in consideration. But just learning how to shoot with the bows and what they do. And if I want to shoot long range, I know to use this bow. If I want to shoot quick and fast in tournaments, like tonight, I'm actually shooting a tournament tonight. I know a bow that I'm going to use for that tournament. I got a shorter string on it. I got shorter tips on it, just so I can get through, get in and out faster. Like, it's all about timing. So
that's cool.
So you talked a little bit about the poundage, and that's something that I've always been curious about myself, because, you know, typically you're hunting, you're shooting like 70 pound draw.
Yeah, for sure.
Poundage wise, but what is it, I guess, the median or average?
So, yeah, it's a big difference. So, the first bow fishing, well, the first bow that I ever pulled back was, I was bow fishing with an 80-pound drawback. And I looked like, I can't even tell you what I looked like. I couldn't pull it back past this, but it was shooting like a gun.
Yeah.
So the average poundage that I pretty much tell everybody to go for is about 27 to 35 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you want to keep it right through there because you don't want to shoot all the way through the fish. It makes a mess depending on what kind of fish you shoot. If you shoot a gar, their scales are pretty sharp, so you'll end up losing the fish if you shoot, especially the people that shoot like alligator gars and those six footers and stuff like that. Yeah, you don't want to shoot through those. You want to.
You're saying that the scales will cut the line?
Most definitely, right. They'll cut the line. Gotcha. For sure. Happens all the time. Happens at least once a night. So yeah.
So are you self-tuning, or do you go to the shop and get tuned
so
up?
So I actually go to the shop. Shout out to Hoffy's Archery. I'm actually sponsored by them. You can actually go there locally here in Lim Passes. Use my promo code DARKARROW10, and you can get 10% off all orders. But, yeah, so I get it tuned by Hoffy's Archery. They take care of me. They make me feel like I'm at home. Like, they've been like that since day one. Shout out to Aaron. They run the shop. They do an amazing job. So cool. Shout out to Hoffy's.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm sure that the tuning process is a lot different from hunting than it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm about to say, I just watch them do their work and stuff, and I'm just like, these guys are amazing. Right. I'm like, yeah, I wish I knew.
So I guess kind of got through that, your equipment and stuff like that. So when you're actually going out, what are some things that you're looking for, I guess, habitat-wise for the support of carp or gar? What do you look for when you're going to a water, to a new spot to actually bow fish?
So there's two different types of ways that you can bow fish that I believe. You can fish from the bank, or you can fish, like, you can walk the bank, or you can fish from the boat.
Right.
So it just depends on which way that I'm going about bow fishing. So say if I was fishing from the bank, I would have to say, what's a perfect example that I could use? If you could ask that again, I could pretty much explain that better.
I guess, if you're like, let's say you're going and you're fishing a river from the bank, or you're fishing a creek from the bank, what's something that you might look for as far as, like, maybe, you know, when you're bass fishing, you look for structure.
Facts.
You look for the bottom. You look for rocks. I know that carp tend to go in more of like a high weed dense area, or a little bit muddier, stuff like that. So what do you look for when you're fishing from the bank, I guess, if we could say first?
So honestly, when I'm fishing from the bank, is honestly just crossing my fingers and hoping that I see fish.
You're just sight fishing.
Yeah, I'm just sight fishing. So I'll walk the bank, and then if I see a fish, sometimes I'll walk past a spot where I've never seen a fish, and I'll see a 50-pound buff, and I'm just like, what is going on today?
Right.
But I specifically like to go for, like, shallow water.
Yeah.
Shallow water. Carp love shallow water. Especially when it rains, flood water, backwaters, things of that nature. They love to come out and eat that fresh grass. And that's another reason why I wanted to get into carp. There's different types of carp. Buffalo carp are native. Common carp are invasive. So what we're doing is we're getting the invasive species out of the water when we're bow fishing. And the reason being is one carp female can have up to 1 million eggs in 1 year or more. So even if 10% of that was to make it, still a huge number of fish that don't have any natural predators once they get past a certain size.
Right.
So with that being said, they like to spawn and they like to eat the grass of game fish that we actually eat. So that's what makes them invasive, because of the fact that if it does flood, they're going to go into that shallow water and eat all that fresh grass. So at the bottom of the lakes, it probably looks like just dirt and things like that. Like, but usually you would see like plants and things of that nature. So what they do is they just destroy all that grass so other game fish that we actually eat and enjoy, such as catfish and bass and things like that nature, can't spawn, and they can't pretty much develop because of the fact that they have nowhere to do so.
That was very well said. I mean, basically like a pig of the water.
Yes, sir.
Huge problem outside the water is feral pigs. Mm-hmm. And exactly what he just said, they tear up crops, they tear up farmland, tear up natural forage for whitetail and other species. So he's saying exactly the same thing with fish.
Yes, sir.
I've never heard anybody talk about the impact that carp actually make on fish habitat. So that's cool that you say that. I appreciate that. Most definitely.
A lot of people don't know that. So, yeah, a lot of people think we're just going out slaying fish and things of that nature. But we're actually making the water better for the bass fishers. So
absolutely.
All the bass fishers, they get showed mad love when they say that.
Everybody rock on, keep the waters clean. And
right. They tell us to keep going. And we'd be like, we got y'all, man. We got y'all. One carp at a time.
So, as you said, you know, there's an invasive species and there's a native species. What do you shoot more of, the native or the non-native?
So, I shoot more of the non-native fish because of the fact that those fish, they really don't care. Mm-hmm. So, like, when you see them, some of them aren't skittish. Like, they pretty much stay right there. They're not used to natural predators. You'll see a 50-pound carp just eating grass. You're going right by, and it's like you would think it'd go away, and it's like looking at you like, "What's up, man?"
And right.
So those fish are always fun to shoot, but when it comes to the native fish, they give you a good fight and a good chase. So if you get on some buffs, you pretty much know what you're doing in bow fishing. Because of the fact that they're not going to pretty much just present themselves to give you an open shot on them.
It's more of like a, it's harder to get them, so it's more of
most
the thrill to do it, I guess you'd say more.
And they actually taste good. So when I get buffs, like, we'll have some people that wait at the docks, and they'll be like, they'll get them from us, and we'll just donate to them. And it's funny how that actually started. When I first started bow fishing, it was one guy who was waiting at the bank, and he would fish. And he's like, "What y'all catch tonight?" And we'll pull out a bucket of fish that we got. And he's like, "Man, I've been out here for 4 hours." And we was like, we've seen him there before. So we start giving him fish. And it got to the point where he'd see our boat, and he'd just show up without his fishing pole. And now he's like, "Yeah, man, he knows he's going to get some fish from us." So,
That's funny to hear, because personally, I've never eaten carp. But my dad and another guy that we do a lot of hunting with and stuff, he's got private land right down the road. It's got a really nice creek running through it. Whoa. And they had seined a bunch of buffalo, like juvenile buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
And they brought them up. This is when they were young. They brought them up to his mom's house to show her how many they'd caught. And she's like, "Okay, y'all are going to clean every one of them." So they cleaned them all, and then they fried them up. They had a big fish fry, and they had crappie, white bass, catfish, and then they had that carp separate.
Yeah.
And they said the carp was gone long before the other fish
were. Yeah, man. Buff nuggets, man. You'll be surprised. A lot of people think that. So I've never tried common carp.
Mm-hmm.
I've never tried common carp. I can't lie and say that I have. I don't even know anybody who has.
Right.
Except for the one guy that waits at the dog.
That guy. He's all over it.
Yeah, but buff nuggets, if you know how to cook some buff nuggets, man, they're super good, as well as gar. Like, a lot of people don't think that you can eat gar. If you know how to get in there, I did the video of pretty much showing how you can get in there and stuff like that. And once you pretty much see, a lot of people think that they're full of bones and stuff. They're really not.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just hard to get to that.
Yeah, meat, I think a lot of people will waste them just because they don't want to put in the time to do it, to clean them.
Yep, that's pretty much it.
I've seen a lot of people, they make the, like, gar balls, kind of like boudin.
They're good.
Or boudin, sorry.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people do stuff like that, and I've never tried it myself personally. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I'm one of the people that when I shot a carp or shot something, I would typically just throw it away because I wasn't educated enough to know that you could potentially eat them. So it was kind of wasteful. But then again, like you said, it's helping the environment.
Absolutely.
And it's helping the waterways of where I had shot them.
And so, absolutely, when a lot of people don't understand, even if like it is a situation where you shoot carp and you do feel like it's a wasteful situation, you can pretty much even use that as fertilizer. Mm-hmm. I know you're a big coyote hunter.
Yeah.
So I know people use it as coyote bait.
Right.
Like I said,
I know a lot of people that use it as catfish bait too.
Yeah, catfish bait. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Alligator gar bait. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Cut off a carp's head. And send that out and the land passes river and you're going to hook up to a 6-pounder.
Yeah, we have another friend that we had on here. We talked about it before we started the podcast. Sharkwater Outdoors, shout out to them. They their most recent video, actually, Maddox caught, it was like a 3.5-4 foot alligator gar.
Oh, wow.
But, and Roland is very big on catch and release of alligator gars. He respects the fish, the size they get, the age they get, all that stuff. He absolutely loves them. But this fish was hooked so deep in the gill, she was going to bleed out. So instead of wasting her, they killed her, and then they showed catch, clean, cook. And, man, that meat looked good.
Yeah, it looked, it's all white meat. Yeah. A lot of people don't know. It's all white meat. It's real good, honestly.
And he's got he's got a video on his TikTok. I watched it last night, and it was one of the funniest, but honestly, a very educational video. He didn't have an ice chest. You didn't have an ice chest, right?
Yeah, I did.
So he put this gar in his bow case. You want to tell him a little bit about it?
Yeah, I'm about to say, man, pretty much we didn't think we were going to we always see this gar, and I'm like, that's going to be good eats right there. Like, that's going to be some good eats. And I actually got presented with the shot, and it was actually on video. So the video is still there. It's about to be at 50,000 likes right now. Yeah. So it's actually
going off
a little bit. But with that being said, I got presented with the shot. I landed the shot. I brought him in, and then I did the catch, cook, and clean. But unfortunately, I didn't have my ice chest big enough for the fish that I did. So I had to put the ice into my bow case, and that's one of my older bow cases. So yeah, I haven't used it in a while. I have a hunting bow that I've never used, so I just ended up taking the bow out of it and putting the gar in the bow case and going about it like that.
Probably got a wall full of bows at this point. It seems like you got like 6 of them.
Yeah, man. Oh yeah, I got a couple bows for sure.
But that video, I mean, they're all great videos, but that one I watched, I was like, that's awesome. And then he shows, you know, processing the fish and breaking it down, cutting how to start from the tail first, cut through the dorsal fins, all that stuff. So
absolutely.
Very educational. I encourage y'all to check it out. And it's got me wanting to try some gar.
I appreciate that, like, man. Yeah, I'm going to have to get y'all some.
Yeah. I know a spot. We can talk about it after the podcast. But I've got a spot that had some big gar in it.
What? That's what I like right there.
I got the carp spot. And I guess you got the gar spot.
It's a little bit of a drive, but
it's worth it.
I guarantee it.
It's worth it.
But so like Christian was kind of saying, when we kind of got off onto the invasive species and stuff, when you're looking for property or looking for places to bow fish, do you key in more on private property or public? Because like, when we're hunting or looking for duck land, stuff like that, you know, the public's nice. It's nice to have that option, but we kind of prefer private stuff.
Yes, absolutely. So the rivers that I have been fishing are private. Well, private property that the rivers flow through.
Right.
So I've never not once seen one person kayak or bring their boat through there. So I know that we're the only ones that
go through
these
there.
Fish. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm about to say, I'm pretty sure like some of the fish that we've seen, they're pretty much just stuck there or comfortable there.
Yeah,
because I know that. Yeah, I'm about to say it's low water, but it does rise and then it does go down a little bit, but they tend to stay there. So
yeah,
I personally, when it comes to walking a bank, private property.
Yeah.
But if you can get on the right lake at the right time, you will shoot more fish. But fishing from the bank and then fishing from the boat, it's two different worlds.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. I have to pretty much capitalize on every shot that I get if I'm fishing from the bank.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get one shot or they're gone.
Yeah.
So That's the main thing. If you're in a boat, you can pretty much chase him down. You can be like, oh, he went this way. You can possibly get another shot, especially if he's shallow. A shallow, you see his wake moving. Like, sometimes it's some big fish, so mm-hmm. the wake, we just follow the wake.
Right. And,
yeah, I'll take us right to him, that shallow water. I love it. Shallow, clear water, baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know that when you're on a boat, because it depends on how far you are above the water.
Yeah.
The angle of the shot, like I talked about earlier. I was fishing this one spot that it basically has like a 10-foot drop-off down to the water, and it's a rock ledge
mm-hmm.
that you can walk along. But just finding that angle coming off of that tall was like really hard. Especially from when you're used to being almost level with the fish.
Yeah, man.
So I could see being on the bank and being on a boat. I mean, it takes two different skill sets, like as far as your angles and absolutely. Stuff like that. So, I mean, it really is kind of like an art to be good at it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not easy. You can't just put your pen on something and expect it to hit, like when you're hunting deer or something like that. You're almost guessing every single time you shoot.
Yeah, you're almost guessing, and yeah, you're pretty much guessing. I'm like, hey, it's one video where I'm like, man, I'm gonna send it out there. I could see him, but I don't know how deep that water is.
Right.
I'm just gonna try to adjust it. It looks shallow, and I sent it out there, and the fish took off. And 3-4 seconds later, I'm just reeling in, and he was on. And I was like, well, I hit him all the way across.
Is that the one of the melanistic gar you shot?
So it's the one right before the melanistic gar.
Where he's like three quarters away across the river.
Yeah,
he's like all the way out there.
All the way across the river on the bank. And that's one of my longest shots right there. Actually, I have one more that's longer just because of the fact that the gar was smaller for mm-hmm. a shot of the day.
Damn.
It was about like a 25-foot drop off that I shot. I'm just shooting it out there to see how much string I had. And I had just got some new string added onto one of my older bows, my compound bows that I pretty much just let my friends use those at this point. But I had shot out there and I hit a gar and I was like, I can't believe I did
that. You say that and it kind of reminded me of, I was watching some videos. I don't know who they are or anything, but I was watching some videos of these guys hunting on top of like the dams.
Oh, man.
And they're shooting like... at least 50 foot down.
Shout out to Steven. That's one of my friends on TikTok. He's actually one of the first people that got me into TikTok, man. I tell him that all the time. And the fact that me and him are actually talking now, like, I'm like, you understand, you're the reason why I bow fish.
Inspiration. Right?
And that's like cool. Those videos are like 10-15 years old, man. He's shooting like easily 40-50 yard mm-hmm. shots, darts, like you can't even see.
I've got
one of them would look like it was like 50 yards, 60 yeah. yards.
I've got a buddy, Ethan Christian's met him. He used to be on this YouTube channel, which is a pretty big channel now. It's 4B Bow Hunting. I don't know if you've ever seen him.
4B Bow Fishing.
They're out of Meridian, but they hunted Lake Whitney a lot, and they were one of the first that I seen doing those videos from shooting off the dams on Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, talking about some shots.
Lake
dude.
Whitney is, Lake Whitney is a good, good.
I'll show you that video. He got his bow run over by a police officer.
I seen that
you
video.
Did?
Whoa.
Yep.
I know exactly.
That's my buddy Ethan.
Wow, that yep. is crazy. Yeah, crazy. The game.
Yeah, the police. Police stopped him and was questioning him and called the game warden. Police goes to drive off.
And runs, out.
Runs
like,
right over.
And then he's like, did he run over my boat?
Yep.
Yeah, I seen that video. That was a while ago. Wow,
that's an old video.
A lot of these guys don't know. They're what influenced me to keep going in bow fishing.
So that's cool.
That video right there was one of the ones I've seen personally. It was like, man, I wish somebody... I had a recurve then. I was like... Somebody run over my bow, man.
Oh,
and then
dude.
It was like the fact that it was like a cop. I'm like, man, that sucks. Like, it's like you can't really do anything about it, but try to see if he's going to
pay you back. Yeah, and he didn't.
Yeah.
And that was the crazy thing, too. He sat there, and he's like, dude, let me just put it on the back of the car or whatever. And he's like, no, I'll put it on the ground right here. It's like,
and then just for it to get run over.
Yeah.
So. But I'm glad that he at least had his camera running and yeah. got to see that, because Yeah, that was absolutely crazy. I know exactly.
That's what crazy you've seen it. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen it too, and I didn't honestly put two and two together.
Yeah, that was Ethan.
It's wild.
I did not know that was in Texas. He's in Texas, huh?
Yeah, he lives up around Dallas now, but we went to college together. He's a good friend. He comes down here and hunts with us every now and then.
That's what's up. That's
yeah,
what's up.
Good dude. So is the guy that runs 4B. He's a good guy. I don't remember his name, but I've met him a couple times, and he's friends with another content creator in the artifact community we know too. So it's a really small world how all this stuff kind of ties together eventually.
It is. But most definitely.
So you prefer to hunt private though, just like we do kind
of. Yeah, I'm about to say I prefer to hunt private, but if we're gonna get on some lakes and stuff like that, I just prefer to go out when the conditions are perfect. I feel like fishing is fishing. So it's 50-50. You're either gonna go out there and kill it or you're either gonna go out there and learn to have patience. So
yep.
Either way, you get some type of reward from it, but, yeah, private for sure.
Oh, yeah. So, Christian kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. He briefly mentioned your melanistic gar. So, I know from your videos, it sounds like you've shot two.
Oh, yeah. So, I shot two now. So, yeah, I'm actually dropping them off to Fin and Bones Taxidermy here locally. I'm going to drop them off and get them mounted. So
that's cool.
Just because of the fact that they say it's very, very rare to see one. Yeah. A lot of people have not seen a true black gar in person.
Yeah.
And they're really, like, amazing, beautiful fish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your inspiration on the taxidermy? What are you going to get them? Are you going to get them done together? Or
oh, yeah. So I'm going to get them done together. Probably have one arrow going through both of them.
Yeah,
one arrow going through both of them, and they're pretty much about the same size. And it's crazy. Like, we just went out yesterday, seen another.
Really?
And I'm just like, yeah, that lake is that private property. You know what I'm saying?
Private property.
I'm telling you, it's something about it, man. But yeah, like I said, we ain't gonna see no black gar nowhere else. Like, even the carp that we shoot, you could tell that they're bred or inbred with, like, koi.
Oh, really?
So they're exotic looking,
like carp. Spotted kind of.
They look like regular carp with spotted heads.
Yeah, really.
Spotted tails. Huh. The other one that I long shot it all the way across the bank. He was pretty much like a golden carp. He looks golden. Hmm. And we were like, this is like a golden carp.
I know that Stillhouse supposedly has quite a few melanistic gar. I know we used to run a lot of trot lines, and my grandpa caught some when we were younger.
Oh, wow.
But the only one that I've ever seen, and we caught it by hand, was in the Bosque River up around, what's the little town? It's east of Hyco. Dang it, I forget the name of it.
Caught by hand is great.
Yeah, we ran them up. I mean, it was real, the river was real shallow into some rapids. We ran him up into the rapids and we caught him. I got a picture of him. I'll show you. He's, I don't know. The only one that I've seen, he was little.
Yeah. But, mine were little too. Then mine were about the same size as the one that you
saw. I wonder if they have a genetic mutation that stunts them maybe, or.
No, I just seen an article on Facebook about the first alligator melanistic black gar caught by an angler. So they caught him alive, and talk about a 6-foot all black alligator gar. Like, that's a beautiful fish. Like,
that's a trophy.
That is a trophy.
Yeah, that's probably a once in a lifetime thing for anybody.
Definitely once in a lifetime. I've never seen it, and it's an alligator gar, so it's times 10 of what I got. But
right. Yeah.
And just seeing the videos that they have of it, him fighting and everything, was like amazing just to see. I got awesome. Tagged in that picture, and I was like, yeah, I got a needle nose gar, but that's an alligator gar. Bro. That's different. I've never seen that at all. That's a melanistic cool. alligator gar.
And so, as far as the gar goes around here, I would say that we have more needle nose than alligator.
Most definitely.
At least in the land passes and in Stillhouse and stuff like that.
I've never personally shot an alligator gar. That's the one fish that I haven't shot that I'm waiting for, just because I've got presented with the shot, but I'm waiting for that 6-footer.
Yeah.
For the 6-footer. Yeah, but
you're going to have to get some follow-up shots on that one.
You got to, for sure. Definitely a team effort. Yeah, definitely a team effort. And that's why a lot of people don't think that bow fishing is a sport, but it actually is a sport. Like, I'd be needing backup shots on some fish. And
it's hard.
I'm about to say, sometimes they get off, especially pulling. Like, a lot of people don't understand these fish are strong.
Yeah.
Fight.
You know, yeah.
Especially depends on where you hit them.
Yeah. So if you get a shot where you're barely in them, like, you're going to need your teammate to back you up with a shot so y'all can secure that fish and get it in the boat. So it don't count if you don't get it in a boat.
So. Right.
So, I mean, like, talking, it's team effort. I'm assuming you're saying on bigger fish. I mean, I know that sometimes you need a backup shot on whatever, just like when we're coyote hunting or whatever. A backup shot's always handy. Might run out of ammo on a stand and have to get out of the high rack to get more. But so are you saying generally that's on bigger fish?
Yeah. Generally on bigger fish, yeah.
So
if I shoot buffalo or a huge carp, a huge common carp, we're going to back those up because especially with buffs, they give you a good fight. It don't matter where you hit them at.
They're strong.
They're strong. And grass carp, too. I think they just passed the new law that just went into effect recently. I don't want to quote the date and be wrong, but I just found out this week that you can no longer shoot grass carp in certain areas just because of the fact that they're doing a project where they're putting them out. So they can eat that
to clean up and stuff.
Hydrilla.
Gotcha. I call it Hyzilla, but Hydrozilla or whatever. I don't know what it is, but
there's a lot of.
I just know I get stuck in it with that trolling motor. It's horrible.
There's a lot of that skunk weed. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. That stuff that you get, it looks like hydrilla, but then you pick it up, smell it.
It
smells like skunk.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
There's a lot of that there too.
Yeah. I'm about to say. See, I pretty much don't know the difference between it, but that's pretty much what I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's more so the skunk weed than the hydrilla.
Hydrilla.
That's a little insider. When my boys see that, they're going to be like, the Hyzilla. First time I've ever seen it. I was like, what is this? Like, I was like, I thought it was shorter than what it was.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it. It's deceiving.
Oh, yeah.
That thing, I was like, I'm thinking that I could get out and jump on the water and walk on that.
Yeah.
And I heard a story where, unfortunately, somebody passed away thinking the same thing.
Really?
You're in Stillhouse.
They got caught up in it?
Yeah.
Really? Mm. Yeah, I can see that.
He thought it was shallow water just because of the fact that it looks like just grass, and you get out and then you get tangled in there. And you don't realize how strong it is. So when we shoot our arrows in there, they're pretty much gone. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's no pulling it up. Like, we're pulling for... it's a whole...
Yeah, that's another thing I didn't really think about either is the fact of... retrieving your arrow on a miss.
You gotta do it fast. It depends on what type of arrowhead you run. I run TNT arrowheads just because of the fact that I don't like to lose big fish. I shoot a lot of big fish, so I run the TNT arrowheads. That's another free tip for you guys. But
what does that head look like?
So it's the tip of that is it's super, super sharp, super pointy. You got 3 prongs. You can get the 2-prong, you can get the 3-prong, or you can get the 4-prong. I like to rock out with the 3-prong. And then my cheat code to it is I clip the barbs just a little bit so you don't lose no fish. You can shoot bigger fish. The barbs, they go out a little longer. So unless you get a perfect shot where all the barbs go into them, you have a chance of losing that fish. So if you trim them barbs up just a little bit, you're not losing no fish. So,
because I don't even know what I got, but when I would go get arrows and stuff like that, usually I would just go to Academy. That's the only place I knew where to get stuff. And it was a double prong. I don't know if it was muzzy or what the heads were on them, but probably not anything that what y'all use.
I don't think. Academy, they got good bows, but. Are good arrows, but the ones that I use, they're just not as durable as what I use when I go to Hoffies or any other archery shops locally.
More of like a hobbyist type of
type of equipment versus somebody that really does it.
Yeah, you could feel the difference. I like a heavier arrow just because of the fact that it gives me a more precise shot. Like I said, once that arrow hits the water, it's going to curve. So it gives me a little bit of more room to work with when I shoot at a fish. So
that makes sense. Heavier arrow, heavier spine. It's not going to deflect as much.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Because as soon as it hits the water, like it's like it curves. Mm-hmm. Your arrow is going to curve a little bit just because of the velocity and everything like that.
So you're shooting a lot of big fish, though. Like what? I know we kind of talked about the melanistic gar.
Yeah.
I want to kind of keep into the. What are some of your most memorable fish you've shot, or biggest fish, or just tell us about what you've been shooting?
One of my most memorable fishing trips was with GWB. Shout out to GWB, bow fishing, TJ and Jared, man. Without them, I probably would not be bow fishing. I actually would not be bow fishing without them. They taught me everything that I know. They took me out on the best trips ever. So big shout out to them, man. I still talk to them every day. Pretty much, and tell them about the journey and things like that. But with that being said, TJ was a boat guide with GWB, Great White Buffalo, and I had went out with them one night, and the first night where I ever seen a grass carp. I've never seen a grass carp. The first one that I had was shy of a lake record by 2 pounds.
Really?
The night before, and of course they lose weight, so...
Right.
With that being said, the night before it was a leg record for sure.
Damn. And then what was the weight on it?
It was about 68 pounds. 68 pounds up there, and I got a picture of it. And I didn't have any kids at the time or anything, and I'm holding it up, and I'm stumbling, and I'm like, to my future son, I did this for you, and now I had a son, so. Spoke it into existence.
But that's awesome.
That's one of the most memorable experiences because I can't wait to show my son that and get him into bow fishing too as well. So
yeah. That's awesome, dude.
He's 3 now, but yes, he's gonna be shooting that arrow one more year.
The Dark Arrow Junior.
Dark Arrow Junior. That's awesome.
I was talking to my cousin the other day. We were talking about what were we talking about? Oh, I forget what it was. Anyway, whatever it was, we were talking about, I was like, man, you should record your experiences with them right now while they're too young to remember. That way,
absolutely.
5 years down the road when they're old enough to know what's going on, you can show them and be like, hey, look, and whatever it was they were doing, they have that connection and they have that actual video memory of it.
Uh-huh, and it takes them back to them. I'm like, I do remember a little bit.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'd be having a little bit of experience like that too. Because,
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I like most about content creation, doing this stuff is having those memories. Like kind of when I first started doing artifact videos, it was just kind of goofy, just stuff for us to be able to remember the find. Like I can look at my collection and I can say, okay, I remember where I found that one, what was going on, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
But to have a video behind it, and especially, going out with my dad and going out with my dad's friends, guys that are getting older, I want to be able to show my kids in the future, hey, this was when me and dad found this, and then they can actually see that.
Yeah,
same
man.
With, Christian's son now.
Yeah.
All these memories that we're making and we got on video, we Absolutely. Can show him when he gets a little older. So.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. And yeah, congratulations to Christian.
Appreciate it, buddy. Yeah, that's something that you can, like Richard said, you can show them, and it's just a big deal because... They're probably going to be better than me. Probably going to be better than you.
I know, right? Hey, this new generation, these kids are different, man. These kids are different. That's all I can say.
They're definitely going to be able to provide a little bit more if they know what they're doing.
I'm about to say, they got the cheat code or something. I'm like, geez, man.
So I guess I should say, what's your plan with the... with your social media, what's your plan from here on?
Moving forward, just keep continuing to educate people about bow fishing. A lot of people, and I noticed, a lot of people never knew about bow fishing. A lot of people never heard of bow fishing. A lot of people think that I'm the one that invented bow fishing. And I'm like, no, not at all. Like, I've been bow fishing for 6-7 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So to see that 6-7 years later, people still never knew or never heard or had an idea about bow fishing. I just wanted to get it out there and let people see, like, you know what I'm saying? There's
kind of like a voice in the community, you could say.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? There's more, it's more ways to get out there and go fishing. A lot of people say fishing is boring. I don't got the time or the patience for it or stuff like that. Well, combine fishing and archery.
Yeah.
And then see how it feels. And hunting. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get a little bit of mix of it all. It's going to get you outside. It's going to get you just to open new doors. And I feel like that's the number one thing that's the least that we could do as a community is just, you know what I'm saying, encourage each other, continue to help each other out, you know what I'm saying, like do things like the podcast and put each other on. And
yeah, man.
Right.
Helping each other out is the main thing. So.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you just said is exactly what we want this podcast to show. You know, we try to bring a spotlight to niche hobbies and things that, you know, most people don't know about. And I've been very blessed through my life to experience a lot of different things because of my dad, the things that he did. So artifacts, hunting, things I can't talk about on here that I've got to experience that most people don't even know are things that happen, right? So to be able to bring this stuff to light for people, the same with artifact collecting, you know, not many people know much about arrowheads or know how to find them or things like that. Just like you said, and I was going through comments on some of your stuff and I would see that people were like, I didn't even know this was a thing.
Yeah.
So for you to bring that light to demographics and stuff like that, man, that's cool. That's exactly what we are in line with and want to do here. And I'd say you're blessed too to be able to step into that outdoor field and do these things. And definitely gonna be more opportunities, man. We'll get in line and do some stuff outside of bow fishing.
We're gonna do some collabs for sure. I'm a deer hunter. I'm a deer hunter and all that, but I'm fresh, so. But just know I can do it. I know what I'm doing though.
Yes, sir.
Sure.
So, yeah.
But we know you got a lot of stuff to do, man. I think this has been a great episode. We don't want to hold you up too long. I know you said you got somewhere to be at 2, and then you got a tournament tonight.
Yeah, man, we fishing the Lake Buchanan tournament tonight, man. So excited for that. Rock Bottom Bow Fishing. Shout out to Rock Bottom Bow Fishing for the invite to fish the tournament tonight. I'm excited. Steven, he's also a bow fishing guide locally. So here, if you're here in Central Texas, if you ever want to go on a guided trip, with a great dude, Steven, with Rock Bottom Bow Fishing. He does that. So, shout out to Steven with Rock Bottom Bow Fishing. If you're in Austin area, shout out to Nick as well with Big Country Bow Fishing. I got to give them a shout out, man. Nick's a great dude as well. If you're in Austin area and you ever want to get on some big fish and stuff like that, Nick puts the time and he actually goes out and he fishes every night, man. Talk about a lithium battery, like, man, that's what everybody describes him as. Like, he gets after it. So shout out to them. They're the main reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing. And Hoffy's archery, exactly. So
that's awesome, dude. Like I said, I think it's been a great episode, something a little bit out of the norm from what we normally talk about. It's cool to see, you know, how much support you've gotten just through your TikTok platform alone.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. I grew from 200 followers to about to hit 70,000. So
that's a big deal. It's getting there.
It's awesome.
It's getting there for sure.
Before we totally wrap up, I know Christian kind of poked the question to you, but you plan to do like YouTube and stuff, or are you just going to stick with TikTok?
So I do plan on doing YouTube and things like that. I'm just pretty much getting used to everything like that. I didn't expect for things to blow up as fast as they did. It was really an overnight process. So
it is. It takes one video and it's off.
And then I had multiple videos that have gotten a lot of attention or are pretty much almost at a... I got one video at like 7.1 million views. And
it's a lot.
I'm just like, geez. And I try to reply back to everybody as much as I can and give them like pretty much the same insights that they're getting right now, but it's kind of hard. So staying tuned to my live and things like this and is like a great way to pretty much stay tuned to pretty much what's going on over here.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you offer any like subscriptions with tutorials? Yeah,
so I do have subscriptions and things like that for my special followers. I do got a couple of people that's in there. Once I get to 100 subscribers, I'm going to be doing the bow giveaway, the kids bow giveaway. We're going to be doing a lot of good things.
It's awesome, so, man. It's good.
Yeah, man. We got a lot of things in the work right now, so I'm just ready to take off with it. So.
Cool, dude.
Heck but, yeah. Well, I think that was great episode, and I think we'll kind of wrap it up here. We appreciate y'all tuning in, and y'all keep living your hobbies. We'll see you in the next one.
See y'all later. Absolutely,
man. I appreciate everybody tuned in on the live, man. Thank you, guys, and thank you, Native Way, for inviting me out and letting me come out here and tell my story.
Yeah, make sure check out the Dark Arrow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Dark Arrow in the building, baby.
We'll see y'all later.
See y'all.